Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shir is Bava Basra Daf Tes Zayin. Today's shir begins 24 lines from the top of the Omid. In our previous shir, we made extensive reference to the role of the Sotan in the episode concerning Eov and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the fear that the Sotan had that maybe the Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to favor Eov even over Avraham Avinu. So with that background, we continue the following. Omar Rabbi Levi, Sotan Upnina L'shem Shamayim Niskavnu. The reference to Pnina is the co-wife of Chana, who eventually was the mother of Shmuel Hanovi. These two figures behaved, though when you look at the psukim, they behaved in a, we'll say, a harsh fashion. Their intention was really l'shem shamayim, was for the ultimate good. Sotan, with regard to the Sotan, kevan dechazil kodesh baruch hu denat yadayte bosiriyov, when he noticed that the Almighty seemed to be veering toward Eov in favoritism, Omar, so the Sotan said, chas v'sholem minshi lei rachmanuse davrom, heaven forbid that the Almighty should forget his affection and love of Avram. Penina dechtiv v'chiasato tzorosa gam kas bavur her ima. We look in Rashi on the fourth line from the top, bavur her ima. Penina, in her reaction to Chana, was motivated to arouse Chana to pray to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even in a more, I'll say, forceful, dedicated fashion than up till now, in order for her to be able to bear a child. So Penina's behavior toward Chana, though one might have thought it was callous behavior, her intention was to arouse Chana to pray more. So, as we said, her behavior was l'shem shamayim. What we just said, Dorsha Rav Acha bar Yankov Papunya. Rav Acha in Papunya taught this, namely that the Sotan behaved really l'shem shamayim. Also Sotan Ashki Lekari, and the Sotan came and kissed Rav Acha bar Yankov on his feet out of appreciation. The pasuk says, "B'chol zois lachoto Eov b'svasov." After all the affliction that Eov suffered, he did not sin orally with his mouth. Amar Rava b'svasov lachoto b'li b'choto. He didn't blaspheme in an explicit vocal fashion, but in his heart he did. My komar, what shows us that in his heart he was blaspheming? Well, and as he was suffering, he said, "Eretz nitna biyad rosha, penei shofteha yichase im lo eifo mihu." This pasuk will be dealt with as the Gemara goes on. Omar Rava, bikesh Eov lafoich kora al piya. Eov, in what he said, as far as a literal translation, he was trying to flip over the bowl on its mouth, on its opening, meaning he was attempting to rebel. Omar le Abaye, lo diber Eov elo keneged asotan. When he spoke of the land being given into the hands of a wicked one, he wasn't, as Rava suggested, referring to Chas V'Sholom, the Almighty, with such a term, but rather he was referring to the Sotan. Ketanoi, and this machlokes bin Abaye and Rava is featured in an earlier parallel machlokes Tanoia. Eretz nitna biyad rosha. After suffering all the travails and suffering that Eov did, his reaction was, the world is given over to the hand of a wicked one. Reb Elezer Omer, Bikesh Eov lafoch kor al piyo. Omar lo Reb Yeshua lo diber Eov elo klapei Sotan. We continue with many more psukim, as you can see, as you scan down the side of the Gemara text, many psukim from Iyov are now going to be darshaned. Al daitcha ki lo ersha v'ein miyodcha matzil. Omar Rava, bikesh Iyov liftor es kol olam kulo min adin. Regarding the pasuk we just read, Rava says that Iyov was attempting to exempt mankind from having to answer to the heavenly court of justice, to exonerate them from any wrongdoing. Omar Lufonov, and now the explanation. Ribbono shel Olam, barasa shor parsosav stukos, barasa chamor parsosav klutos. You created the ox with split hooves, you created the donkey with closed hooves. Barasa gan eden, barasa gehenim. You created paradise and you created purgatory. Barasa tzadikim, barasa rishayim. Mimalka eval yodcha. And here we dashed on the line, barasa rishayim. You created the wicked ones. And Rashi says, barasa tzadikim al yedei yetzer tov. Barasa rishayim al yedei yetzer hora. Lefikach ein nitzol miyodcha, ki mi yakev anusim hein hachotim. You created the evil inclination, and those people that are, let's say, governed by that are going to sin beyond their control. It's not within their power after you instilled in them this evil inclination. So with that, how can you then punish someone in the world to come for sins that he did beyond his control? We continue in the Gemara, Umaya Hadru Lechavrei Diov. And what did Iov's friends who came to visit him comfort him in his suffering, what did they say? What did they respond to that? So they said, Afato tofer yira v'sigra sicha lefnei keil. Now the explanation. Boro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzara, true, he created an evil inclination. However, Boro lo Torah tavlin, he created also the Torah as an antidote, as a means of combating the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rava, Mai Dichtiv, Birkas Oyved Olai Tovo, Velev Amono Arnin, Birkas Oyved Olai Tovo, Malamed Shoyo Goizel, Sodom Yesemim, Umashbichu Machziro Lahen. The Pasuk describes Eov's conduct or practice of stealing fields from orphans, improving the fields, and then returning the improved field to them. V'leiv almono arnim, what does that refer to? The chol hecho the have almono, the lo have a natsvi lo. Wherever there was a widow who was having trouble remarrying, have ozil shodi shmei ilua v'havu osi natsvi lo. He would come and proclaim that woman is my relative, and Eov being a man of great social standing, people were then motivated to marry a woman who supposedly is a relative of Eov's. Lu shokel yishokel karasi v'havasi b'moznayim yisu yochad. Omar Rav, and referring to this pasuk, Rav says, Afro lepumei diov, let there be dust cast into the mouth of Iov. In this pasuk, Iov is challenging the Almighty and say, let's weigh my actions and see who comes out in the right. And Rav says regarding that kind of talk to the Almighty is as if you're making the Almighty your friend, someone you can challenge. Chavrusa klap Ishmael. What, do you think you're his buddy? Rashi says, Chavrusa klap Ishmael, medaber lifnei ashchina kodom hamisvakeach lechaveru. You're talking to the divine presence like a person who debates, who challenges his friend. Bo nishko mi chayev lechaveru. Go, let's see who owes whom. Let's continue in the Gemara. Lu yesh beinenu mochiach yoshes yodo al shneinu. Omar Rav, once again, Rav says regarding that kind of talk, afro labume diov. In this pasuk, Iov is saying, let us set up an independent judge to to settle the matter between the two of us. Me, Yom, and you, the Almighty. Well, what kind of talk is that, says Rav? Klum yeshevet shemochiach es rabo. Can it be that there's a slave that chastises, that reprimands his master? The pasuk says, Bris korati leinoi, umayz bonein al basula. Omar Rava. Now, actually, before we go on, Eov proclaims that he entered a covenant with his eyes, that he does not gaze upon virgin women. So, Rava says, Ihu bachrenisa. Eov, granted, controlled his eyes insofar as restricting his gazing upon other women, Avram. But with regard to Avram, you see even a more outstanding characteristic. Even his own wife, for a period of time, he didn't look upon her out of modesty. When Avram and Sarah descended to Mitzrayim, and there was the threat that the Pharaoh would take Sarah away from Avram, Avram said, "Hine no yodati ki isha yafas mara at." I now know, after having been together for many years, he says, "I now know that you are a beautiful woman." That would imply that up till now he didn't recognize that, he didn't know it, and that's out of his extreme modest behavior and not looking even upon his own wife. Kola anon vayelach kein yored shol lo yale. Just like the cloud dissipates, so too he who descends into purgatory will never come up. Omar Rava mikan shekofer Yov chisamesim. From here you see that Yov denies the resurrection of the dead. The pasuk says, "Asher b'sara yeshufeni v'hirba p'tzai chinam." The thrust of this pasuk is that that I've been afflicted in a sara. Now the word sara can refer to a storm, a wind, and he says that my afflictions, my bruises were for nothing, were for naught. Rabbo now presents a monologue, and you'll see these are going to be the responses of the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Eov. And on the side under our nosei, under our topic heading, we've noted Chuvosef Shel Hashem L'Tainas Eov Shem Ruach Sora Over L'Fanecha V'Nischalef Lo Bein Eov L'Oyev. Eov, in his challenging of the Almighty, he said, maybe you were confused by the passage of a storm in front of you, and that caused confusion between Eov, that's me, and Oyev, an enemy. And that's why you're afflicting me for nothing, thinking that I'm your enemy. So in simple words, Eov is saying to the Almighty, who is the embodiment of perfection, as one who may have made a mistake. As we go through this monologue, a house marking will appear, one of our series markings, and you'll see that it introduces terms that begin with the word harbe. If you scan down the Gemara, you'll see harbe nimen, harbe tipen, harbe kolos, many individual things were created, and a distinction between each unit is necessary in each one of these cases, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes no mistake in these multitude of details. How is it you're claiming that I made a mistake confusing you with an enemy? Now, the Gemara. Omar Rava, Eov besora chiref ubesora ashivuhu. Eov blasphemed using the reference to Sarah. We introduced before, we said, describing his affliction as the result of a wind, of a storm, confusing the Almighty. And the Almighty answered him, Bisara. Bisara, you'll see, can also refer to hairs, Se'ar Rosho. So Eov blasphemed using the term Sarah and was answered with Sarah, as we will see. B'sorah chirev dechtiv, asher b'sorah yishufeni. Omar Lefonov, then the Gemara explains that posuk. Ribbono shelam, shema ruach Sarah avra lefonecha v'neschaif lo bein Eov lo yev. Maybe a ruach Sarah, storm, blew in front of you, creating confusion, and you confused me with an enemy. Besara Shivu Dechtiv, and the Almighty answered him Besara. And this, you can see we've listed as number one in a series of responses that the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds to Eov. The first one obviously deals with the example of the Seora, the hair, and then we'll see additional responses. Let's see now. Vayan Hashem es Eov min hasa'ora vayomar ezor no kegever chalotzecha esholcha vahodieni. The Almighty responds to Eov min hasa'ora, meaning from the hairs, and he says, gird yourself like a man, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and you let me know what you have to say about these. Omar lo, harbe nimen borosi bodom. I created numerous hairs in a person. V'chol nimo, p'nimo, borosi lo gumo, b'fnei asmo shele, shtayim yonkis migumo achas. And each hair has its own pore from which it is sustained, so that you don't have two hairs being sustained from the same pore. Shilmoli shtayim yonkis migumo achas. If two hairs would emerge from the same hole, machshichis morein of sholem, person would become blind. Ben guma laguma lo nischalifli, between pores, I don't get confused. I know how to itemize and unitize each pore, one hair per pore, and in that effort, I don't get confused. Ben iyov la oyev nischalifli. Do you think that I would get confused between Eov and Ov? Obviously, I hope everyone notices how close the two words are in their spelling. But nonetheless, because Baruch Hu doesn't get confused regarding hair pores, certainly not between these two words. Mi pilag lashetef ta'ola. Number two, Kodesh Baruch Hu's response to Eov, and the Gemara elaborates on this pasuk. Harbe tipin borsi b'othim. There are many droplets of water that exist in clouds. V'chotibo v'tibo borosi lo defus b'fnei atzmo. And each droplet has its own mold, has its own form. Kedesh lo shtei tipin yoytzis mitfus echot. So that you wouldn't have two droplets emerging from the same form. Shil moli shtei tipin yoytzis mitfus echot. If two droplets would emerge from the same form, it would muddy the world's the earth's surface. The eino motzia peros, and no growth of produce would result. Bein tibol letibol nischalifli, between individual droplets of water, I don't get confused. Bein Eov leoyev nischalifli. We read a pasuk that said mean pilag lashetef te'erla. Regarding that pasuk, the Gemara asks, "My mashm dai te'erla? From where do you see that word te'erla? Lishno didfus he? That's a reference to a mold." Omar Rabba Bar Shila dechtiv vayas te'erla kebeis osayim zera. So from that pasuk, we see the use of the word te'erla as meaning a mold or a form. V'derech lachaziz kolos. A third response of the Almighty. Harbe kolos borosi bovim, v'cholkol v'kol borosi lo shvil b'fnei atzmo, kidei shelo yu shtei kolos yotzis mishvil echad. I created many sounds in the clouds. We'll say thunders that emerge from the clouds. And each sound has its own path, so that you don't have two sounds coming emerging from the same shvil, from the same path. Shil molish dekolus yeches mishvil echad. If two, say thunderclaps would emerge from the same path, Machriven es kol olam. The result would be the destruction of the world. Bein kol lekol nischalif li. Bein iov leoyev nischalif li. Between different sounds, I don't get confused. Assuring that each one has its own channel, its own path. Would I become confused between Eov and Oyev? Number four. Hayodato es ledes yarle sela. We have brackets around the next three words. Chulul ayolos tishmor. And we indicate that this part of the pasuk will be dealt with on Omid Beis. Right now, the Gemara focuses on the beginning of the pasuk. Yale, it's the name of an animal. Yale zu achzor sabonel. It's merciless regarding its offspring. B'shal shekiras, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, loledes, when it is bending over in its birthing process. Oilu l'rosh ahar, it goes to the top of a cliff. Kedei shibo mimena, so that the newborn falls from her to its death. The almost and die thus in that way. Vani, and I, says the Almighty, Mazmil Oneshish and Makablu Bechnofov, and I arrange for an eagle that catches this newborn in its wings, U Manicho Lefonel, and then places the newborn in front of its merciless mother. Vilmole Makim Rega Echod, Me'achi Rega Echod, if that Nesher, that bird, that eagle, would fly by a moment early or arrive a moment late, miad noifel umes, so that offspring would immediately fall and die. Bein rega l'rega lo nischalifli bein iov li'oyev nischalifli, between this moment and that moment, in other words, I am capable of perfect timing, and I don't make mistakes. When I make a mistake between iov and oyev, Cholel Ayolos Tishmor. This, as we mentioned a moment ago, this is the second part of the pasuk that we just cited. Ayola, that's a name of another kind of animal. Ayola zu rach motzar, it has a very narrow birth canal. Bishoshigras ledes, when it bends to give birth, under normal circumstances, the birth canal being so narrow, the child, the offspring, would not emerge. So when it is about to give birth, I arrange for a drakon, some type of, we'll call it maybe a serpent or some kind of other venomous creature that bites the ayola in that area of its anatomy, and that causes a loosening of whatever constrictions ordinarily exist, and with that the ayola is able to give birth. And if the timing would be off by a moment this way or that way, it would immediately die, and as a result you can see that I have perfect timing. Bein rega l'rega lo nischalifli bein iov l'oyev nischalifli. Iov lo bedas yidaber v'dvorav lo baskel. That's a pasuk, and based on this, Omar Rava. Rava says, "Mikan shein odom nitvas mishas tzaro." A person is not held accountable to be, let's say, guilty of that which he says in the midst of his experiencing great pain and affliction. As the pasuk said, "Lo bedas yidaber." He spoke in a mindless fashion, and Rashi points out that it says lo bedas, and it doesn't say lo beresha yedaber. Rather, elo bedas. He lacks sound mind, and that's how Rava understands the pasuk in describing Eov in his questionable or blasphemous remarks as reactions in the midst of great suffering. And on that we say, Ein Odom Nitbas B'Shat Saro. Vayishmu Shoshis Re'e Iyov Es Kol Haro Azos Habo Olo Vayavo Ish Mimukomo. The pasuk tells us about the three friends of Iyov who were in disparate locations, and they heard of his suffering, and they each one came from their own respective locations. And who were they? Eliphaz HaTemani, Uveldad HaShuchi, Uvetzofer and Amosi, Vayavuadu Yachtov Lovo Lonud Lo Lunachamo. They came together to console him. My Vayavuadu Yachtov. What is behind this statement of their coming together? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Melamed Shenichnasu Kulam B'Shar Echad. This tells us that they all came through the same gate. They came together. The Tana Ben Kol Echad VeEchad Shlosh Meos Parsi. We mentioned that these three friends were in disparate locations. Between each one, there was a distance of 300 parsa. 300 parsa would be the equivalent of 1,200 kilometers between each one. Mino Havu Yadi. How did each one know of Eov's suffering and come together? Iko Diamri Klila Havu Luhu. Iko Diamri Iloni Havu Luhu. Kevan de Kamshi Havu Yadi. The two versions. One says that each one of them had a Klila crown. And Rashi explains on the fourth line from the top Ksorim, Uvachol Keser Shlosha Partzufim, on each crown there were three faces. So you had here Eov and his three friends. So that besides the person himself that was holding the crown, there were three others. So each one on the crown that he had three faces. V'ish es shmoi mechukak al partzufo. And the names of each individual were etched out on the face images on the crown. And when one of them, one of the friends, experienced pain, suffering, so there was a change in the way the face looked. And each one knew that that was the person that was experiencing difficulty, and they would thereby come. And the same applies to the description of each one had a tree. So the same analogy of each one having a tree with a name associated with it, and when the tree would wilt, they would know that that party whose name was associated with that particular tree was suffering. Omar Rava, Hainu Damrinchi, it's with this in mind that people say, O Chavro Kechavri Diyov, O Misuso. Either, if a person doesn't have friends that love him, that are mindful and caring of an individual, it's better to be dead. So it's either have good friends or be dead. Vahi keechal odom oroiv al pnei adoma uvonois yuldu lohem. This is a pasuk from Bereishis Perek Vav, pasuk Aleph. Pasuk says that when there was an increase in the world population and girls were born to them. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Revia Baal Leolam. With the birth of girls, there is more possibility of increase in population. Reish Lakish Omar Meriva Baal Leolam. Strife comes to the world. Omar Le Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Lidcha De Amris Revia Baal Leolam. According to you, that with the birth of girls, there is more increase. Then Mipnei Ma Lo Nichpulu Benoisav Shel Eov. Why do we find that when at the end of Eov's, at the end of the Sefer, when Eov experienced increase, he didn't have an increase in the number of daughters? We've noted on the side two psukim, one from the very beginning of Sefer Eov. It says there Shiva Bonim V'Sholosh Bonos. He had seven sons and three daughters. And at the end of the Sefer Perek Membeis Pasuk Yigimol, it says Shivana Bonim V'Sholosh Bonos. Again, you see three daughters. And that's at a time that the Almighty doubled the reward due to Eov. So if the birth of girls is characterized by greater increase, why were Eov's daughters not doubled in numbers? Omar Lo, so Rabbi Yochanan answers Reish Lakish, Nihidilo Nichbu B'Shemos, granted they weren't doubled, in other words, his first children died, and then he had these replacement children granted by the Almighty, and granted that they were not doubled in actual people, Shemos means in names. They're, instead of having, well, he originally had three daughters, instead of having now six daughters, Aval Nichvulu B'Yofi, their beauty was doubled. The new daughters that he had were twice as beautiful as the earlier ones. Dechtiv, Vayilo Shivano Bonim V'Sholosh Bonos. The word Shivano, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, is 2 times 7. So he had 14 sons and 3 daughters. Now the Gemara will focus on the meaning behind these names of his replacement 3 daughters. Yamima, that it means she was bright like the day. Ktzia is a type of perfume. So she this daughter had a pleasant aroma about her like perfume. Karen Hapuch, Amri Debei Rabbi Shilo, Shedoyme Lekarna de Keresh. Where Karen, according to the Debei Rabbi Shilo, is a reference to an antler of a certain type of horned animal. And according to the Debei Rabbi Shilo, she looked like that. So Mechaychola Barova, Karna de Keresh, Lakusi, describing a girl looking like the antler of this creature, that's a defect. So where do you see a beauty in the daughter named Karen Apuch? Elo Omar Rav Chista Kekurkama Derishka Beminei Ki Shenemar Ki Tikri Bapuch Einayich. Rav Chista says that the name Karen Apuch is complementary, just like Kurkuma Derishka. Kurkuma is a type of spice that's very, very expensive, and just like that is outstanding in its taste and expense, so too she was outstanding in her beauty. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ki Tikri Bapuch Einayich. We're going to see Mirza Shem in the Tosfos an elaboration discussion on this point, on what Rav Chista says and the citation of this particular posuk. We can say ahead of time just a couple of details, and one is that in the Tosfos you'll find a totally different girsa. Instead of kurkuma derishka, he'll say kakuchla, and kuchla is a type of cosmetic that women use to color their eyes, to make their eyes stand out more. Maybe something in the realm of mascara. I also want to point out that in the Meforshe HaTanach, the term puch that we saw in the Gemara is a type of coloring, as we mentioned, a cosmetic that women apply around their eyes. And the Pasuk says puch, we call it kachol, kuchla, chaf, ches, lamed being the root of the word, and hence the alternative girsa. You can glance up right now at the top Tosfos and you can see kekuchla derishka, and the puch in the pasuk is called kachol, and this ingredient, or I say this element of kachol, of puch, you find in Melachim Beis Perek Tes Posuk Lamed, and also in the Sefer Yeshaya Perek Nundalet Posuk Yud Aleph. As I said, there will be more on this topic when we get into the thesis. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon Ribi is Yalida Le Barta. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, had a daughter born to him, Hava Kocholash Daite, and he was upset. Omar Le Avua. Rabbi said, a daughter? You're upset? Revia Bololam. Increase comes to the world. Each woman is capable of bearing a child. Omar Le Bar Kapora Talchum Shel Hevel Nichamcha Avuch. Bar Kapora tells Reb Shimon, your father consoled you with empty words. The Sanya. E Efshir Lolam Beloizchorim Lokevus. The world cannot continue without both genders. However, fortunate is the one whose offspring are male. Woe unto the one whose offspring are females. Yef shel olam b'lo basim b'lo burski. The world cannot continue without these two professions. A basim is a person who deals with fragrances. A bursi is a tanner of leather. And ashrei mishim nosa busmi. Fortunate is the one whose occupation is one of one involving fragrances. Woe unto the one whose occupation is that of tanning leather, which is odoriferous, very foul smelling process involved. We're not going to elaborate now on this issue of males versus females, but it is far be it from the statement of what we'll call of putting down, we'll say, females, but rather it involves with the parenting of a female involves, let's say, much more worry on the part of the parent raising a girl than when raising a boy, whether it be concerns of being taken advantage of by others, fear of rape, fear of her pursuing witchcraft, which was a practice pursued by women much more than men folk, and other concerns. And because of the worrisomeness of raising a girl as opposed to a boy, you see this Maimer Chazal. Ke Tanoi. Now, as far as our attitude toward having a girl, this is really a Machlokes Tanoim. Vashem Berach es Avram Bakol. Pasuk says, and the Almighty blessed Avram Bakol. My Bakol. Rabbi Meir Omer Shalohoi Salobas. He was spared of having a daughter. Rabbi Omer Shahoi Salobas. To the contrary, he had a daughter. Achir Omerim Bas Hoi Salol Avram Ubakol Shma. The other opinion is that he had a daughter and her name was Bakol. And the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with a daughter, Bakol. Rabbi Lozer Amodoy Omer, Itztagninus Oysa Beliboy Shel Avram Avinu Shekol Malchei Mizrach Umarov Mashkim in Lepischo. The Pasuk that says that Almighty blessed him with everything, he even had the power, the knowledge of what we call astrology, and with that knowledge he was sought after by kings from all over the world, who sought Avram for guidance, for counsel, because he had this extraordinary knowledge. Rab Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Even Toi V'Hoysa Tuya B'Tzavar Shel Avram Avinu. When the Pasuk says that the Almighty blessed him with everything, it's a reference to this precious stone that Avram used to wear around his neck. Anyone who was suffering an ailment who looked upon it would immediately be healed. And when upon the demise of Avram, the Kodesh Baruch Hu took this precious stone and cast it into the sun. So it's there, so to speak, in the sun. The brackets that you see are simply an Amoraic interruption of this Tanaic source. Omar Abai, Hainu Dam Rienshi. Abai says, based on this Tanaic reference to a precious stone cast into the sun, people say, Igli Yoimo, Igli Ktsira. With the rising of the sun, the rising in the sky of the sun, a person's ailment becomes lifted up from upon him. Meaning, his suffering, his pain, his ailment is reduced. Dovaracher Shalomar Esabiyam. Of another explanation of what it means when Kodesh Baruch Hu is said to have blessed everything but Kol, that Avram was spared of Esav, who was Avram's grandson, rebelling in his day. Another explanation is that his own son Yishmael repented in the lifetime of his father. Shalomorad Esav Yomov Minolan. From where does the Tana know that Esav did not rebel in the lifetime of Avraham? You'll see the term Minolan highlighted with a bow tie marking as in order to highlight the source for these two last points mentioned. One, that Esav was not married b'chai Avraham, and that Yishmael did tshuva, so that the repenting of Yishmael will be featured a few lines down from here. So from where does the Tana know that Esav did not rebel in Avram's day? The pasuk in the Torah says that Esav came forth from the fields and he was fatigued. That's a literal translation. V'tana, Esayom niftar Avram Avinu. On that day, Avram Avinu died. The also Yankiv Avinu Tavshish Ladosh Menachem es Yisgaviv, and Yankiv was preparing a dish of adoshim, a type of food, often translated as lentils, as a food to console his bereaving father. What's the significance of that particular food that which is served to someone mourning? Amri b'marom shmei de Rabba b'amori. It was said in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabba, ma adosh zu ein lo peh, af ovel ein lo peh. Just like the adosha, the lentil is a smooth type of legume, has no peh, has no mouth, it has no crack in it. You can contrast that with, let's say, a barley grain that has a slit in it. So just like the adosha has no mouth, so to speak, it has no slit in it, which is representative of a mouth, so too the mourner sits in silence. It's characteristic of a mourner to sit in silence. If he wants to initiate conversation, he has that option. But otherwise, it's not a time for gabbing. It's a time we should know from it. But in mourning, is a time for silence. Tovar acher ma adosha zu migulgeles afavelus migulgeles umavzeres al boi olam. Another association between the lentil and mourning, just like the lentil is round, it's a disc, and as such, it can, if you position it properly, you can roll it, and it rolls around. So too, mourning is something that circulates amongst all people of the world. Everyone, at some point or another, is destined to, in the course of normal life events, is going to experience avelus. So it's something that circulates, that rolls around, so to speak, from person to person. My binayo, what is the difference between these two analogies? Iko binayo, linchumi bebeit. The point of difference would be to serve as food of, we'll say, of comfort to the mourner, eggs. Well, what can we say about eggs? Eggs are not round; they don't roll that easily. So it wouldn't be appropriate if you say that the uniqueness of the adosha is that it's mechazeres al boi olam. However, it's smooth; it doesn't have a mouth. So according to the first explanation, an egg would be a suitable substitute for adoshim in offering the mourner that as his food. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Chomesh Averos Ovar Oisa Rosha Ba'Oisa Yom. That wicked man, that's a reference to Esav, on that day that we just described, the day his coming in from the field, fatigued, he was guilty of five offenses. Paul Al Naram Rosa, he had intimacy with a betrothed maiden. V'horagas HaNefesh, he murdered someone. V'kofar Biker, and he denied the Almighty. The Kofar Tchisemesim, he denied resurrection. Veshot es Habuharan, he disparaged the role of the firstborn. He was the firstborn, and the firstborn was destined to be what we refer to today as the Kayin. But before the say the original idea, the original plan was that the Bechora, the Bechor, would be the, all firstborns would serve in the Beis Hamikdash. And in his disparaging of the Bechora, he was in effect disparaging the worship of the service of Hashem, which was the role that was fulfilled by the firstborn. And having listed each one of these offenses, the Gemara now gives you sources. Hence we review them each one. You can see we underline and use the same numbering scheme. Bo'al na'am rasa, ksiv ha'cha v'yavo esav min ha'sodeh. Uksiv ha'sim, the posuk in the context of the raping of a na'am rasa, it says, ki ba'sodeh mit so'o. So by virtue of the, what's called the Xer Shava, the word comparison, Sodeh, Sodeh, in both contexts, we are given to understand that he had intimacy with a Naram Rasa. Horagas HaNefesh, Ksiv HaCha Oyef, Ksiv HaSem Oy No Li Ki Oyefo Nafshi La Horgim. So again, you see the word association of Oyef together with Horgim, with murderers. Hence the conclusion reached that he, Esav, had committed a murder that day. The kofar b'yikir, uksiv hacha loma ze li, uksiv hasam ze ke li v'aveu. So the, what do I need ze for? And ze is a reference to the Almighty, as the second posuk indicates. The kofar b'tchir sameisim, v'chtiv hinei onochi holech lomus. He says, I'm going off to die, that's the end, I have no future. And in such, he is denying the resurrection of the dead. V'shot as v'chor d'chtiv, v'yiv as Esav as ha-bechorah. V'shot means he disparaged the bechorah, and the posuk had said, v'yiv as, you can see, v'yiv as loshen bizayon or boz is to denigrate. We mentioned earlier, v'shosa Yishmael tshuva b'yomav, v'nolav, from where are we given to understand that Yishmael did penitence in the lifetime of Avraham. Kiha deravina v'ravchama barbuzi havias v'kamei derava v'kom namne rava. So you have these two rabbis dozing off in the presence of Rava. I should say were sitting in the presence of Rava while Rava was dozing off. Amar le ravina l'ravchama barbuzi v'adai de'amrisu kol misa sheyesh bo gvia zuhi misasan shel tzadikim. Is it so that when the scripture makes reference to death, it says vayomos, but it uses also the word vayigva, gova, that indicates the death of pious ones? Omalian, yes, that is what I say. Well, if that's the case, vador hamabel, what about the generation of the flood, which was known as a sinning generation? And nevertheless, you see the word vayigva in their context. Omele anan gevio v'asifo kaminan. When I say that gevio is associated with the death of the pious, it's provided that the word gova or gevio is accompanied with the word asifo. Vayesof el amov. Question. V'ol Yishmael ksiv be gevio v'asifo. If you look in the Chumash Gracious Perik Chof Hei Posuk Yud Zayin, you see that in the death of Yishmael, you see it says Vayigva and the word Asifor, Vayesof. And he wasn't a pious individual. Adoch Yisrbu Rova, in the meantime Rova arose. Omar Lu Dariki says, children, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Yishmael Osa Tshuva B'chai Avrom B'chai Oviv. Yishmael in fact repented in the lifetime of his father. And the Gemara will prove that. But with that in mind, then we can stick with the original point that Gvia, together with Asifa, is indicative of the death of the righteous. Yishmael having achieved that status through his repentance. Now, where do we see that? Shneamar vayikbru oisoi Yitzchok Yishmael bonov. Pasuk says that they buried him, namely they in the burial of Avram. It mentions first Yitzchok, and then Yishmael. A few words are added in the Bach, Oskimel, and let's the Ostalad, that is. And let's read that. Michti, Yishmael koshish Yitzchok. Yishmael was older than Yitzchok. When Yitzchok was born, Yishmael was already 13 years old. My taimo, the koshish le Yitzchok mekame. Why is it that the Torah puts Yitzchok, who was the younger of the two, in front of Yishmael. Shema minot shuvah ovid v'adabrei the Yitzchok mikamei. This reflects Yishmael's having done repentance, and he directed Yitzchok to go in front of him. We could turn back to the Gemara of Adilma Derech Chochmoson Ko Chashiv Lehu. Maybe the order of the names, Yitzchok first and Yishmael, is indicative of their respective levels of wisdom. Meaning Yitzchok was much more accomplished in Chochmah than Yishmael. And that's why Yitzchok is first, not because Yishmael did tshuva. Elo Me'ata. Well, if that's the case, if the Pasuk lists individuals Derech Chochmosan, what about the following? So Esav V'Yankiv Bonov, in the burial of Yitzchok it says Esav and Yankiv, first Esav then Yankiv, they buried him. My time alo Choshev lu Derech Chochmosan, why there is the listing not in the order of their wisdom, and of course you would have put Yankiv before Esav. Elo Mida'akteme Adburei Adburei, from the fact that Yitzchok was put before Yishmael, that was a deliberate act on the part of Yishmael. And from the fact that Yishmael deliberately put Yitzchok ahead of him, that's a sign. It's a sure sign that he, Yishmael, did repent in the lifetime of Avram. You'll see a triangle now, use one of our series markings, and on the side we indicate Sidrash of Brises Shem Poishin Mistparim. We'll have a series of Tanaic sources that open with numbers. Tono Rabbanon Shlosha Hit Imon Kodesh Baruch Hu Mazeh. There are three that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them a taste in this world. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Zayin Me'ein HaOlam Haba. A taste of the world to come. In other words, in this world they got a taste of the world to come. Who are the three? Elohim, Avram, Yisov, Yankov, Avram, Dichtiv, Bei, Bakol. Avram, the Pasuk says he was blessed with everything, and that with everything is coming to include even a taste of the world to come. And Yitzchok, Dichtiv, Bei, Mikol, Yankov, Dichtiv, Bei, Kol. There were three that were not ruled by their evil inclination. In other words, they overcame, they subdued their evil inclination. Elohein Avram, Yitzchok, Yankov, Dichtiv, Bahu, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. V'yeshom Rav David, Dichtiv, Libi, Cholol, Bekirbi. And the Yeshom Rav, another opinion, says that you are to include in the list of those that were not ruled by their evil inclination, even David, as the Pasuk says, my heart is empty from within me. Heart being associated with one's natural tendencies, one's evil inclination, and that's hollow within me. Vidach, what about the first opinion? Why did he not list or include David? The answer is, Tzarehu dekol midkar. In this Pasuk, v'libi chol bekirbi, he's not saying that I've overcome my evil inclination. He's reflecting upon his own pain, his own suffering, that he feels emptiness through his suffering. Rashi says on the fourth line, Alibo Mamish Misraim Vyomer, Shemes Bekirbo Mirov Soros, referring to seemingly a physical inner pain that he feels as if he's dead because of all of the suffering that he experienced. Tonu Rabbanon, Shisha Lo Shalom Bohen Malach HaMavis. There were six that died, but not through the intervention of the angel of death. They died what's called a Misas Neshika, maybe called the kiss of death. The divine presence kissed them, so to speak, and it was through that their soul departed, resulting in their passing. Who are they? Elohein, Avram, Yitzchok, Yankov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Avram, Yitzchok, Yankov, Tribuhu, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, Dichtibuhu, Al-Pi Hashem. That they died, Al-Pi Hashem, through the mouth of the Almighty. Ayvah, Miriam, Loksiv, Al-Pi Hashem. Miriam is in this list, and it doesn't say that with regard to her death. Omer Abulazar Mirim Nami Vishuka Mesa. He says that yes, she did die through that divine kiss, the Asir Sham Shami Moshe, and we know that through a Gezerah Shava, between the word Sham that you find in the death of Moshe and Miriam. So why doesn't it say explicitly by Miriam that why is it that we have only the Gezerah Shava, not an explicit statement? Answer Shignaya Dover Lomar. It lacks a sense of modesty or dignity to say about the Almighty that he kissed a woman. Tonu Rabbanan Shiva Lo Shalei Bohem Rima V'Tola. There were seven that did not decompose. Rima is decomposition. Toleya are worms. V'Elu Hain, the seven are Avram Yisrael Yankov, Moshe Aaron, Miriam, Uvinyomin Ben Yankov. Binyamin Ben Yankov means the last Sunday of Yankov Avinu, Binyamin. Avrams of Yankov, Dechtibahu, Bakol Mikolkol, Moshe Aaron, Miriam, Dechtibahu, Alpi Hashem. One who dies that way is not going to decompose. And Binyamin Yankov, Dechtib, Uvinyamin, Omar Yidir Hashem Yishkoin, Loveta Cholov. That he will dwell in security, meaning his ultimate dwelling will be without decomposition. The Yesh Omrim adds to the list of those that were not affected by Rima V'Tola David, as is reflected by this pasuk. V'idach, the Tanakamu did not list David. Hahu Rachmihu Dekaboy, when he said Af Besor Yishkon Levetach, he was praying. It was a prayer, a wish, not a statement of fact. Tonu Rabbanan Arba Meisu B'Kish Shel Nachash. There were four that died through the counsel of the original serpent. What does that mean? Rashi explains they are people that were so righteous that through the course of their lives, even though they may have committed a sin here and there, but they did not do anything in the course of their life that would have been responsible for their deserving death. And the only reason that these people, four people, died is because of the original counsel, wicked counsel of the serpent, where the forbidden fruit was eaten by Adam and Chava, and the result of that is that man does not remain for eternity, but suffers death. So who are these four that only because of that, some refer to it in English as the original sin, but it's a function of the original people that had sin, and that brought upon mankind the verdict of death, and that's the only reason these people died. Ve'elohein, the four are Binyamin ben Yankov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, the Kilav ben David. Interestingly, you have not David himself, but rather David's father, Yishai, and David's son, Kilav. The Kulu Gemara, all of these, our knowledge of them is through an oral tradition. Labarmi, Yishai, Avi, David, the Mefarsh Beikra, with the exception of the father of David, Yishai, where there is a posuk that indicates this point. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "V'yasa Mosa Som Avshalom Tavz Yoyev Alatzava Mosa Ben Ish Ishmo Yasir Seini Asher Bo El Avigail Bas Nochash Achos Tria Aim Yoav." There's a genealogy in this pasuk. What we want to focus on right now is Avigail Bas Nochash. Yasra had married Avigail, the daughter of Nochash, who was the sister of Tsruya, Tsruya was the mother of Yoav. The Chibas Nochashi, this Avigail referred to in the pasuk was her father Nochash. Father Bas Yishaihi, Avigail was the daughter of Yishai the Chiv. The Achio Sehem, Tsruya of Avigail. Pasuk that spells out, that lists the children of Yishai. It mentions the children of Yishai and their sisters were Tsruya and Avigail. So Avigail is a daughter of not Nochash, but she's a daughter of Yishai. So why is Yishai referred to in the other pasuk as the Nochash? She, Abigail, is the daughter of the one who died simply because of the original counsel of the serpent. Let us now turn to the Tosfosim. On Tes Zayin Omid Beis will be the first of our Tosfosim for this shiur. On Tes Zayin Omid Aleph, there are no Tosfosim. So at the top, we have Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil, Kekuchla Derishka Benina. As we were learning the Gemara, which featured the names of Eov's daughters, the third daughter, Keren HaPuch, was described as this. However, in the Gemara, we don't have this Girsa. This Girsa is featured here in Tosfos. Kekuchla Derishka Bamina. She was like this kind of cosmetic. Kuchla Derishka. By the way, this is in the Gemara. You'll see five lines under the Rashi commentary. And we mentioned that our Girsa was Kekurkuma Derishka. It's important to note that Kuchla, as we said, is a type of cosmetic put around one's eyes. Women would apply this to their eyes, and the Girsa that we have in the Gemara is Kekurkuma of the Rishka. It's a type of spice that grows in gardens. So now we continue with the Tosfos. I want to point out before we actually read the Tosfos, we have a note here taken from the Sefer Tosfos HaMavor, and we've included this on the side, and it reads as follows: the starred note, Rav Chisda Meforish Shabito Hashlisha Shel Iov. Rav Chisda in the Gemara explains that the third daughter of Iov, Shenikra Keren Hapuch, that was her name, Domsa LeKuchla DeRishka. She appeared like Kuchla Derishka. Shepirushal Kachal Ha'asui Minerd Ha'meula Shebemino. Like Kuchla, like Kachal, which is that eye, if you want to call it eye mascara, that's made from Nerd. And in footnote 882, he points out in the Sefer the following. Kamo Shevil B'soif HaTosfos Min HaTargum Shezehu, namely Rishka, is Hatargum Shalamila Nerd. The Nerd Hu Min Besamim. So when we say that this Kuchla is made from Nerd, the Targum of the of that word is Rishka, and Rishka is, as we say, as a type of besomim. Now we turn to the Tosfos. Afagav de kochol hu shochor. Even though this we call it this cosmetic is black. Now Tosfos says even though it's black, that sets us up for asking. There's room to ask then, how can that be a description of a complimentary description of the daughter of Eov? So Tosfos is saying, even though Kachol is Shachar, Kidapiresh. Now this abbreviation, if you ordinarily, it would be Bahag. That's called Bala Lochas Gedolos. However, Tosfos and Chulin, which deals with the Gemara now, Tosfos is now going to quote the Gemara in Chulin. The Tosfos there on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, Dibra Masul Uchma, at the end of that Tosfos, he quotes the Halochas Gedolos Shel Rabbeinu Tam. So it's very likely then when Tosfos makes reference to this, Kedepiresh Be Halochas Gedolos of Rabbeinu Tam, as opposed to the earlier work known as the Bahag, the Baal Halochas Gedolos. So Tosfos says that even though Kochol is Shochor, Kochol is black, as is explained in that work of the Rabbeinu Tam. Where does Rabbeinu Tam say that? Well, Uchma Uchma. Those two words you find in Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara deals with discolorations found on an animal's lung. And in this particular case, the discoloration is not a sign of disqualifying the animal or rendering it unkosher. But if it's uchma uchma, if the lung has these splotches on it that are uchma uchma, it is in fact kosher. And now, the Rabbeinu Tam there explains, hainu, the uchma uchma that you see on the lung is not really black, but it's damyo lekuchla. It's dark, and it's like kuchla. So kuchla is not really black. It's a dark color. And now, with that in mind, how do we tie that into the daughter of Eov? Hochi pirusho, regarding our topic, it's as follows. Kihechi de kuchla de rishka, makrin umeir mishar kuchla, just like the kuchla made from rishka is more profound or outstanding, shines more than other kuchlas. Apparently, this type of cosmetic that we call kuchla could be made from different sources. But kuchla de rishka, and we explained in our introductory remarks that rishka is the targum, is the Aramaic of a plant called nerd. And that kind of kuchla is more outstanding than other kuchlas. Ah, so kach hi, so too the daughter of Eov, hoisa no mishar noshim. She was more beautiful, she was more outstanding in her beauty than other women. Now, we continue in the Tosfos. The Karen Hapuch, her name was Karen Hapuch. That word Karen is not, like we saw as a havamin in the Gemara, a horn or an antler, but rather it's Loshon Ki Koran or Pnei Moshe. Koran has to do with shining forth. We have an expression in modern Hebrew, Keren Or, with an Aleph. Aleph Vav Resh. It's a beam of light. And in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, his Or there means his skin glowed, so that he radiated. So that she has, her name was a name indicating Keren, meaning radiating, Hapuch. And when we were learning the Gemara, we pointed out that word Hapuch, we saw a pasuk quoted Kitikri, Bapuch Einayich. And the Meforshei Tanakh said that Puch is that type of cosmetic that is applied around the eyes. So she glowed like the kachal made from rishka, which is outstanding in its quality. So too, her beauty was outstanding in its quality. Fahashta, now with this explanation in mind, osi shapi hoda maisi vatikri bapuch inayich. The posuk from Yirmiyo, Perek Dalet, posuk Lamed, has relevance. Where you can see the pasuk makes reference to puch with einayich, with eyes. The kochol doyma lepuch. The kochol is similar to puch shen noisnim kochol ba'ayin. And as we explained, that puch is associated with that type of cosmetic that's put in or around one's eyes. Aval lepiush Rashi the goras ki kurkuma derishka. Rashi had explained based on the girsa that we have in our Gemara, which was kurkuma, which is a type of spice that grows in gardens. According to that girsa, that Karen Hapuch, that she was like this special spice that grows in gardens, Kashel Rashba, the Rashba has difficulty in Kain, my Maisi why does the Gemara bring or quote Tikri'i Bapuche Nayach? That particular posuk, what relevance does that posuk have to a spice that grows in gardens? What relevance does a spice, kurkuma, have with eyes? The Yonason Tirgame, the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, dealing with the word neared v'charkoim, we put the word karkoim in brackets because the focus right now is on the Targum of the word neared. This is a posuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet Posuk Yud Dalet. In being metargame the word neared, he explains it as reshek, like the word rishka. The tier game, here we have another posuk, the de-emphasizing forem, im, but emphasis on nerdim, which is there, shirashirim perek dalet posuk yud gimel, the word nerdim, the targum renders that as im rishka. So, this enables us to see that the nerd of the posuk is in Aramaic Reshek, and with that we say tie everything together that the Girsa of Kuchla de Rishka is the more appropriate description of Keren Hapuch in so far as you can see the connection between that and the Posuk quoted by the Gemara, which makes reference to eyes. We turn now to Tosfos Divrei Maskil, Shekol. This is associated with the Gemara, 18 lines from the end of the Omid. The Gemara made reference to Avram being blessed with Bakol, and one of the explanations was he was blessed with a special stone worn around his neck that anyone who would look at it would get better. And we have a taktsir on the side, a summation of the Tosfos, where we've written Tosfos Masbir Eichi Tochein. Tosfos says, "How could it be Bisman Avram Mitzius Shocholi, the phenomenon of ailments of sickness? Kshagemora Bova Mitzia Oimer, when the Gemara in Bova Mitzia says Shad Yankiv Avinu Lo Hava Chulsha, that until Yankiv Avinu there was no illness." So Valkach Tosfos Mevi Shnei Hesberim, and with that question in mind, you'll see Tosfos has two approaches. So now the Tosfos Shekol Chila Shiroi Oisa Miyad Misrape. Anyone who was ailing, who would gaze upon this particular stone that was in the possession of Avram Avinu, would immediately get better. The im toimar, you might ask, v'ha bimei Avram akati lo hoya choli ba'olam. In the days of Avram, there wasn't sickness. Kinaminu b'sochus apoyalim, as it says in the seventh parak of Bava Metzia, the ad Yankov lo havi chulsha. Until the time of Yankov Avinu, there was no illness. The ad Elisha, another point mentioned there in Bava Metzia, is that until the prophet Elisha lo havi the ichlish v'sbach, there was no one that after becoming sick ever got better. Up till Elisha's time, people that got sick would die from the ailment. At the time of Elisha, the phenomenon of recuperation set in. So the question is raised, how can our Gemara describe a stone that would serve as a remedy for ailments when ailments didn't exist? Umatsinon lemeimar, a first approach is that we can say, the hocha v'choyle shel maka airi. In our Gemara, we're talking about an ailment that results from impact, as opposed to ailments resulting from disease. So, someone who fell ill because of a bruise or because of impact, so this stone would serve would serve in a therapeutic capacity. They explain, let's say, take another look at the Gemara in Bava Metzia that we quoted and say as follows, the Ad Yankiv, lo hava de ichlash, that which it says in the Gemara that until Yankiv there was no ichlash, hainu choli shel misa, there was no sickness that resulted in death, but a regular sickness there could have been, and the stone of Avram helped heal. We'll call it the regular type sickness. Mikan ve'elech, from Yankov Elvinu's time onwards, have the ichlish choli shel misa. From his time on, then there appeared ailments that resulted in death. Velo have the isbach, and the other point made in the Gemara on Bava Metzia, there was no one that got better, that recuperated from ailments of death, ad Elisha, until the time of the prophet Elisha. We now turn to the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Bo, in describing Esav on that day that Avram died. Gemara said he committed five offenses, and one of them, seen in the Gemara, 11 lines from the bottom, Bo al Naro Hamurasa. He had intimacy with a betrothed maiden. The Imtomar, you might ask, why do you describe that as a sinful act on the part of Esav? Falolo nitzdavu b'nei Noach al Naram Rasa. There is a prohibition in the Torah for a Jew to have intimacy with a girl, a woman who received money in exchange for agreeing to marriage. At that point, she's called an arusa. She's meureses. But the Bnei Noach, they do not have within their, let's say, list of prohibited intimacy, they do not have that as a prohibition. In other words, if an idol worshiper girl had accepted money from some man in exchange for her agreeing to marry him, she doesn't gain marital status that would warrant, the death or punishment for another man that had intimacy with her. They are not commanded. The Bnei Noach are not commanded. Bnei Noach meaning those who descended from Noach before the giving of the Torah. They're not commanded in avoiding intimacy with such a girl, with a Naam Rasa. Kiramrino Paragaba Mises, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Bulas Baal Yeshlehen, marriage as established through an act of intimacy, bonding a man with a woman, creating husband and wife, that would make a Bas Noach, a non-Jewish woman, that would make her married, and hence would be forbidden for another man to have intimacy with her. However, Nichneses L'chuba V'lo Nivalo Eilehem, a woman of B'nai Noach status that entered a marriage canopy but did not have intimacy with her husband, that doesn't create any change in status of such a woman. So, namely, without intimacy, there's no marriage, and therefore there's no erusin, there's no bonding. And the question then is why does our Gemara describe Esav as having done a sinful act in having had intimacy with an Amorasa, when it's not strictly speaking, you couldn't call that a prohibited or a forbidden act? Viomeri. So then the Ri explains, why does our Gemara look with denigration upon Esav for having intimacy with a Nara Amorasa? The Afalpi Shalom Itztave, even though they're not commanded, they're not formally prohibited from intimacy with a Naam Rasa, Mikol Malkum Uchur Adovar. Nevertheless, it's something that we find despicable. It's literally, it's ugly. It's not becoming. Kamo Vishad Esa Bechora. Similarly, with regard to what we saw in the Gemara, 11 lines from the bottom, as one of the other reprehensible acts of Esav, his denigrating the Bechorah, even though he wasn't commanded on that. So the Gemara is taking Esav to task on his wrongful attitude and despicable behavior, even though in a literal technical sense we wouldn't be able to call him an actual sinner for that. We now turn to Daf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, the first Tosfos on the Omid, Dibur HaMaschil Shloisha. The Tosfos is referring to the Gemara on the first line. Shloisha were given a taste of the world to come in this world. Tamo the Rashba asks, Amai lo choshev ami Eov? Why wasn't Eov included in this list of those who in this world experienced the taste of the world to come? The Gemara Daf Tes Vov said, regarding Eov, it said, V'hasonos ros al yudehem. The Pasuk describes oxen plowing, and as the oxen plowed a furrow, his donkeys ate from that which sprouted forth. So you have the planting and the sprouting forth on the same day. Melamed sheit imoi akodesh baruch meino lamabo, and we learned over there that shows that Eov got a taste of the world to come, where the Gemara described that there's no gap in time between conception and actual birth. In other words, a woman would conceive and give birth on the same day. A plant would be put in the ground and sprout forth on the same day. So, does that not illustrate that Eov too experienced a taste of the world to come in this world? So why isn't he part of the list? The Yesh Lomar, we can answer. The Eov lo hoya elo b'chad milso. It's true that Eov experienced that, but that is it. Only that one facet of the world to come. Immediate conception and birth. Immediate planting and growth. But the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are the three featured in the list on Daf Yud Zayin, they nehenu me'ein olam haba mikol v'kol. In all aspects of living, they experienced the joys, the pleasures of the world to come in this world. And hence the list remains unique to those three and not more. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Shiva. Shiva Shelo Sholta Bohen Rimo. We saw a list of people that in their death did not experience decomposition. The Rashba asks, Tamil Rashba, why does the Gemara say seven when Dekulu Tzadiki Nami? This is something characteristic of all righteous people. The Omar B'Shabbos Perek HaShoyel in Masechet Shabbos, it says, quoting a pasuk from Mishle, Perek Yudalet Pasuk Lamed, Urekav Atzomois Kino. And we explain, Mi Shiesh Lo Kino B'Libo, someone who has jealousy in his heart, person who is characterized by jealousy, Atzmois of New Coven, so his bones rot in death. V'Shein Kino B'Libo, people who live life without jealousy, Ein Atzmoisov Markivin. His bones do not rot. So we see people who are righteous, who are gracious and don't feel any sense of jealousy, they don't experience rotting. So why does our Gemara say only seven? V'yesh Lomar. The Tosfos answers, T'yocho lios shel yirkav, our v'yesh lebo rimo. When we learned our list of seven, those are people that it specifically says will not be, their bodies will not fall victim to to worms. So Tosfos says you could have a situation where there's no decomposition, but there are worms. Kidomar b'maiseh the Rebbe Elozer b'Shimon b'asof z'poilim in the seventh parak of Bava Metzia, there's an incident where he died, his body remained intact, he did not decompose, denofik richa shamayudne, but a worm emerged from his ear. So without getting into details, of course we recommend looking at the Gemara for the entire story and the explanation of why that happened, but you have that phenomenon of a body not decomposing, remaining intact, but yes, falling victim or falling under the influence of the richash of the worms. That's the rima. And our Gemara had a list of seven that did they not only not decompose, but they were not affected by rima either. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur Maschil Shlosha. This refers to the Gemara 15 lines from the top. Shlosha lo shalat b'hen yetzer hara. There were three that were not ruled by their evil inclination. And this Tosfos, by the way, presents a fundamental idea in Judaism. It says, Ein lefarish shelo sholat klal. Don't explain that these people were not under the influence of their evil inclination at all. Im Cain, if that were so, that they were not subject to any forbidden desires, they had no gates of horror in them whatsoever, Heichi kiblu alea agra, how could they possibly be worthy of receiving reward? There's a common saying in English, no pain, no gain. In order to be worthy of receiving reward, one has to experience trials and tribulations, especially those of the evil inclination. The ability to overcome the evil inclination is that which grants people their right to expect reward. So, and our list to suggest that they were not under the influence of the Yetzer Hara ever would actually be a disservice to them. So what does this mean? Elo kid Omar, but rather as the Gemara in Yuma explains, my dichtiv ragle chasidov yishmor. Referring to that pasuk, the Gemara says, kevan shover odom roiv shnois velochota. A person who manages to live the majority of his life, so if a person's lifespan is, as the pasuk says, 70 years old, he passes age 35, and through those 35 years he was consistently able to overcome his evil inclination, was always fighting and winning and warring it off, warding off his evil inclination. Oh, shuv eino chote. From that point on, for the balance of his years, he will not sin. Hachinami, kevon shirogash borchu, shoyudochim atzmom kolkach lisrachim min avera. So too over here, Kosh Borchu saw these three people that were fighting in such an intense fashion their evil inclination to distance themselves from sin. Kodesh Baruch Hu assisted them and aided them from that point on that the Yetzer Hara no longer had influence over them, had no control over them. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.